Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Braja jana randana Soranandana Braja jana randana Jamuna Kiravana Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
जय हो कृष्ण पार परमहंस परब्रजकचार्य अष्टत सतसी सिमत शिवाइंग्रे शिलापे चरण रविंद शिल भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की समवेत वक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेम नंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru Chikram. Glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So Hare Krishna on this very very festive day of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance we read from the 7th canto chapter 6 no Chapter 8, text 29. Vishva Spurantam Granaturam Hari Vyalo Yathakum Kulishakshata Vacham Dvayurum Apatya Dadara Lilaya Nakya Yathahim Garuro Mahavisham Vishvakspurantam Grahanaturam Hari
Vishvakspurantam Grahanaturam Hari
Vyalo Yatakum Kulishakshata Tvacham
Vyalo Yatakum Kulishakshata
Dvayurum apatya dadara lilaya Nake yatahim garudo mahavisham Vishvakspurantam grahanaturam hariya
Vishvakspurantam grahanaturam hariya
Vyalo yatakum kulishakshata tvacham
Vyalo yatakum kulishakshata tvacham
Dvayurum apatya dadara lilaya
Dvayurum apatya dadara lilaya
Akeryatahim Garudo Mahavisham
Akeryatahim Garudo Mahavisham
Yes, please, somebody else, Chan.
Vishvakspurantam Grahanaturam Harir
Vishvakspurantam Grahanaturam Harir
Yalo Yadho yata kum kunishakshatatvacham Mariyurum apatya datara lilaya
Mariyurum apatya datara lilaya
Nakayata hingaruto mahavisham
Nakayata hingaruto mahavisham Vishvasturantam grahanaturam hari Yaro yathakum kunishakshatatvacham
Spurantam,
moving his limbs.
Grahanaturam,
afflicted because of being captured.
Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narsingadev.
Yalaha,
a snake.
Yata,
just as.
Akum,
a mouse.
Kulishakshata,
not cut even by the thunderbolt thrown by Indra.
Tvacham,
whose skin?
Dvari,
on the threshold of the door.
Urum,
on his thigh.
Apatya,
placing.
Dadara,
pierced.
Lilaya,
very easily.
Nakai,
with the nails.
Yata,
just as.
Ahim,
a snake.
Garuda,
Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu.
Mahavisham,
very venomous. Yes, the translation. Shidam, you're very expert. Please now listen very attentively. Have you ever noticed when you hear a Bhagavatam verse and a purport and someone asks you, what was it about? You don't remember. You know why this is? The mind was absent. So now it's very important. We have today the day of the open heart surgery. We want that today something happens in our life. The first step is to listen carefully. How to listen carefully? I once gave a class in Vrindavan in our Krishna Balaram temple about this. See, when you, as you hear, you have to bring your mind and just almost read as I am reading. You're reading in the mind the content. Or if this is too complicated, concentrate your mind on what you hear. Good. As a snake. No. Hearing. As a snake captures a mouth, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrsimhadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrsimhadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. So this was the verse. May I request you, what were the examples how Nrsimhadev captured Hiranyakashipu? A snake captures a mouse, and Garuda captures a very venomous snake. Now, what was the description of Hiranyakashipu? How strong was he? He could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of Indra. I'm very, very impressed by you. Now, where did Nrsimhadev, who was so strong, tore the demon apart? Yes, in the doorway of the assembly hall, and some of you said on his lips. Good. Purport. So, this was the first test. The second comes now. Listen. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Nrsimhadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of the day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrsimhadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. So isn't that wonderful? Indeed, the nails can be called dead. Is that a good nail? But at the same time, they can be said to be alive. They grow. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrsimhadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vajaline Nirvishesha Shunyavani Askacharya Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri
Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. My dear devotees, today we want to enter the subject matter of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance through a very special door. There are many ways in which we could enter the Leela of Lord Nrisimhadev. We could describe his form, we could describe his appearance, we could describe his place where he's in the spiritual world. But I would like to enter with you the Nrisimha Katha through a very important area. Lord Nrisimhadev is the Lord of Protection. In our spiritual life, we need protection. Kripa Maya Prabhu just told me when we saw him that we almost lost him. All of a sudden he had a deadly disease and needed to go to surgery. His body was very ill. I also consider it a great mercy that I'm still amongst the living people. So we need protection, but a protection which is much more necessary even than physical protection is spiritual protection. See, if we die a physical death, this is not a problem if we are in Krishna consciousness. But if we die a spiritual death, even in this lifetime, this is a great problem. A very great problem. So the Lord is very, very merciful in giving both physical and especially spiritual protection to his devotees. And he does this in a most amazing way. As we have heard here in the purport, it was almost impossible to protect the devotee Prahlad from this asura Hiranyakashipu, because the Hiranyakashipu had powerful blessings which, as far as his intelligence was concerned, were enough to make him practically immortal, unkillable. And when he attacked, there was no one who could throw him back. It was simply not possible. He could not be killed inside or outside any residence. Not during the day or night, not on the ground or the sky, not by a human being or an animal, not by any demigod, demon or great snake. Naga, not by any weapon or any entity. He was really practically unkillable. But the Lord found a way to pass all these walls and to just get to the demon and just kill him. And do you know who was most surprised about this? Lord Brahma could be surprised, yes. The demon himself couldn't believe what was happening to him. He said,
thought I'm immortal. Now this is happening to me. He said, he cried out in disbelief, "Alas, my chest, which is being ripped open by Narsingadev at this moment, is the same chest that broke the tusks of Airavata, Indra's elephant." I mean, that elephant, Airavata, he's so powerful. He came with his tusk, but when he touched my chest, his tusk broke. And even Lord Shiva tried to get me by taking his axe and beating on my chest. But my chest stayed free of any scars. No cosmetic problems on my chest. And now, this... He didn't even know how to call Lord Narsingadev, because he was so absolutely unusual. There was a lion, but there were legs also. There were forms, sometimes thousands of arms. Now this is happening to me. This is... He couldn't believe it. Till the last moment he thought, it's not possible. But the Lord has his way. He is actually very, very powerful when it comes, or very determined when it comes to protecting his devotee. He's reliable. I know you don't believe in Krishna's protection. I also don't believe it in it always. But today, my dear devotees, bring your mind to the place in your heart where you have some faith. And I believe that at the end of the day, you could cure this problem. You could have faith in the Lord's protection. Because if today, he will just give his mercy. His appearance day. My dear devotees, faith in the Lord's protection brings you quickly into the Lord's presence. I would like to repeat this sentence because it's a key sentence. Faith in the Lord's protection brings a devotee quickly into the Lord's presence. Or said in another way, if a devotee can have faith in the Lord's protection, he is quickly Krishna conscious. Very, very quickly. Let us tell on this auspicious day the amazing story of Lord Narsingadev. And then we will hear some treasures of philosophy and something from Narsingha Purana also. Hiranyakashipu, the great Asura, harbored a great animosity against the Lord. There was a reason. The Lord had killed his brother, to whom he was very, very attached. His brother whom he actually needed in his political campaigns. When he gave his talk at the funeral of his brother, it was a philosophical talk, but also a hate talk. You know, nowadays we get sometimes, and not we, in devotional circles, there are no hate mails, but in the world, there are often hate mails on the email. Someone writes on the email, "I hate you," hate mails. So at the burial of Hiranyaksha, this Hiranyakashipu expressed his grief. He actually accused Krishna very strongly. "The Supreme Personality of Godhead," he said,
has given up his natural tendency of equality towards the demons and demigods. He has become partial. He's not in the neutral position. Although he is the Supreme Person, now he is influenced by Maya. He was in Maya. That's why he killed my brother. We shouldn't expect him to be in Maya. You know, you would not expect you wouldn't expect a grown-up person to pee in his pants, you know. So you wouldn't expect the Supreme Lord to be in Maya. He has assumed the form of a boar. Boar means a big. Anyways, I don't want to get too much in the Hiranyakashipu Bhava. He has assumed the form of a boar, a big boar, to please his devotees, the demigods. He has proven that he's just like a restless child who favors someone. He was Hiranyakashipu really was very, very, very hateful towards Krishna. And on the burial of Hiranyaksha, this mighty Daitya vowed to satisfy his brother's soul with the blood of Lord Vishnu. That was him. Really a demon. So it is, of course, interesting that in Hiranyakashipu's family, his son, I don't know, was he his only son, Prahlad Maharaj? Anyone knows?
I think he has four.
I also remember hearing he had four, but we always only hear of Prahlad because he was so different. It's a question, why is he so different? Why did the seed of bhakti appear? Now I think you all know that once Hiranyakashipu, this terrible demon who had vowed to kill God, had been absent, and during his absence, he was not in his kingdom, Indra and the demigods took the opportunity to attack the kingdom of the demon, and they took the wife of Hiranyakashipu in custody. The Nishinga Purana describes that Indra was so attracted when he saw the beauty of Hiranyakashipu's wife, is her name Kayadhu, that he felt sexually attracted to her. After all, you know, she must have been beautiful to be the wife of Hiranyakashipu, who was all he was really into money and physical pleasures, you know, into gold and soft beds. Prabhupada said this was his idea. So he felt sexually inclined, Indra, and wanted to. Indra is not, you know, he has his scandals. So, but Narada Muni stopped him and said, "No, you're lusty man. Leave this queen. She bears in her womb a powerful devotee." So Indra had also planned to kill Prahlad after he was born, but Narada Muni said, "Your plans are not good in relationship to the wife of Hiranyakashipu, and you must know he She bears a very powerful devotee in her womb. You must know this. I will take her into my custody and I will take care of her. Don't worry. Don't touch her. Leave her alone and leave her son alone. So there, in the ashram of Narada Muni, Narada Muni took care of his great future disciple, Prahlad Maharaj. He gave him the most powerful and most nectarian shiksha. And by these instructions, the seed of bhakti was given by Narada Muni. There are many other contributing factors, but I would like to stress this one and emphasize this one, hearing from a great soul. My dear devotees, I believe the theme is very important in our life also. We also have been born in the family of people who did not know and who were back. If I look into the history of my parents who participated in the Nazi times, I must say, yeah, there's also a problematic area, a problematic past. But still, by the mercy of a great devotee who cared, the seed of bhakti can come into any person. When a great devotee cares for us, then it is sure that we will get bhakti, which is otherwise very rare to attain. This was what Advaita Acharya said when Nityananda announced one day that there are these Jagai and Madai. You know, Jagai and Madai were killers, murderers, really. And the glory of Lord Gauranga would shun forth if they would become devotees. So, and the other bhaktas were saying, what? You know, that's almost like making a statement. Who's a demon nowadays on the planet Earth? Yeah, is he demoniac? Let's say Mr. Bush. I don't know. Do we have other? Idi Amin. Do you know Idi Amin? I don't know if he's still alive. He cut the private parts of his political enemies and ate them. This is a little demoniac. Let us imagine Kripa Maya Prabhu would have made the statement, I go to Nigeria, or where was he? Uganda, make Idi Amin a devotee. We would say, good luck, Kripa Maya. So Lord Nityananda said, in his unconventional love, I want to, Jagai Madai will become devotees. And Advaita Acharya said, because you are a great devotee, and you have made the plan to make them devotees, they will dance and chant in ecstasy and of bhakti. So when a devotee cares for us, my dear devotees, we have a chance. Because the mercy of Krishna always follows the mercy of his dear devotee. This is a principle in bhakti. If we go in this speed through the Nishinga store, we have not even started. We will not reach the end by the midnight. So we might have to accelerate now a little bit. So Prahlad was born. He remembered with perfect remembrance all the instructions, and he became a great devotee. Do you know what he did in the night usually? He sat and meditated about the Lord. She didn't sleep like us. Or he didn't try to sleep like us. Here Nrisimha Chaturthi, Nrisimha Chetra, sleep is not coming very easily our way. Have you noticed that? It's not easy to sleep here. Maybe it has to do with Prahlad Maharaj. He always stayed up in the night and he meditated in the night about the Lord. That was his habit. This is from the Nrisimha Purana. So Prahlad was such a devotee, although in school Hiranyakashipu tried to brainwash him into a demon, it just didn't work. He always did kirtans in the school. He meditated in the night and had kirtan programs in the school. He was totally a devotee, and this was so much against the Hiranyakashipu's expectations of a proper child that he actually used a very demoniac argument. He said, this Prahlad has become a diseased limb on the body of the Daityas in my dynasty. In order to save the blissful dynasty of the demons, I will have to amputate this limb. This explains how Hiranyakashipu could give up the natural tendency of love of a father to love the child. By the way, this is a very, very common argument amongst demons. There's another demon, Heinrich Himmler. Have you heard about him? I will have to say in this class a few things which keep you alive. This is one thing. Heinrich Himmler is responsible of establishing scientific killing camps where really millions of people were killed in Auschwitz and Dachau and everywhere else. Previously the Nazis used to round up their enemies, the people they wanted to kill, Jews and Polish people and Russians, after having asked them to dig their graves. And then they would just go and shoot them. So once Himmler, who was responsible for this, they called it cleaning action, shot someone and the brain just burst on his suit, on his nice brown shirt, and which was just fresh. And he became pale. And then he decided there must be a cleaner way to kill. And then he made the concentration camps. So he's a real demon. So now, once his massage person who massaged him was just having a conversation, Himmler, he said, how do you eat? And he said, vegetarian. Oh, why do you eat vegetarian? Said the masseur. And Himmler answered, yes, I don't want to commit cruelty for ethical reasons, you know. Masseur said, but you're killing so many people. He said, no, said Himmler, you don't understand it. Now he gave the same argument as Hiranyakashipu. You must know that these people are the disease on the body of the human race. And to amputate a diseased part is for the benefit. It's ethically absolutely correct. What do we see here? We see a person who is a gross materialist and in addition a demon, and who has forgotten what is right and what is wrong. He has no connection any longer to the natural voice of the conscience. This happens in materialism very easily. And therefore, sometimes we say very strongly that our society, materialistic society, has asuric tendencies, demonic tendencies. Because, my dear devotees, when someone becomes so much outwardly looking, and he loses his connection to his inner self, it just snaps. And then all of a sudden, what is wrong becomes right, and what is right becomes wrong. So here, Hiranyakashipu is ready to kill his son, Hare Krishna, too much. And he did many, many things. The first thing is he had demons come attack him with spears. You can see that in our paintings. I believe there is a painting somewhere here. I can't see so well at the moment, but you can go to our gallery of paintings. I remember here. I don't know if it's a little small, isn't it? And these demons, they have spears here. They try to kill the defenseless Prahlad. But do you know what happened? Because Prahlad was thinking so much about Vishnu in his heart, he glowed, and the weapons turned against the demons. This is what happens when you attack a great personality. It's always in your disadvantage. This is also what happens when you attack a devotee. Think bad about a devotee, think critical about him. It's always the force of your anger will turn towards you and hurt you. So the demons tried to kill him, but the weapons turned against him. Do you know in Chaitanya Lila an incident where weapons which were used to attack turned against the attackers? Anyone? Yeah? What happened? Yeah. The Bhattadharis. The Bhattadharis were gypsies. They were gypsies and they had allured the servant of Lord Chaitanya away from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when Lord Chaitanya came to reclaim his servant, he said, why do you take a servant away from a sannyasi? You are also... He argued very, very kindly with them, and then they attacked him with weapons, and the weapons all turned around and just beat the gypsies, the Bhattadharis, into... that they ran away. So this is always a principle. So there were many attempts on Prahlad Maharaj's life. I will not tell you all, because you would become so sad and so depressed that I don't want to make this vibration. But I want to ask you a question. Prahlad Maharaj always remained so composed. He remained especially composed when his father attacked him. How? Why? Have you ever been in a life-threatening situation? It's not easy to remain peaceful. We know, Kripa Maya Prabhu and myself, there is naked fear when someone comes and holds a gun on your head. I don't want to do it to a devotee. It's something which you can't steuern, wie sagt man, manipulate with your own brain. When someone attacks with a weapon, there is an almost unconscious reaction of trying to protect yourself. When you're really in life danger, then, my dear devotees, you can't... it's tough. It's just so tough when you are in an accident. You know, when you are in an accident, you just scream, ah! You know, or if it's just, it just comes out of it. You are not like this. Or when death comes, you're not like. It's why was Prahlad so absolutely? He had faith in the Lord's protection. And there's a reason why he had this faith. See, finally, when nothing worked any longer, Hiranyakashipu ordered his men, "We have tried to throw him from rocks. We have tried to poison him. We have tried everything. Now just take him in the night out of his house, bring him to the ocean, sink him down in the bottom of the ocean and put rocks on him." So this is what they do. Prahlad Maharaj was meditating, like always. All of a sudden the doors were opening and these monsters came in and just captured him, brought him out in the ocean, sank him to the ground of the ocean. Prahlad was meditating still. Yeah. Strong meditation here. And then put rocks on him. So when Varuna, the lord of the ocean, saw that, he just took Prahlad Maharaj and with his gentle waves brought him to the beach, and he put him down on the beach, and Prahlad was there. And then Varuna just said to him, "Oh, best of the devotees, oh, best of the devotees, awake, awake, awake." And Prahlad Maharaj awoke, saw Varuna, and immediately, like a devotee, he had only one question. Just see the innocence. He didn't even ask, "How did I get here? And why are my hairs wet? What is happening?" He just said, "Varuna, is it you?" "Yes," said Varuna. "Varuna, can you tell me how I can reach my lord?" "Varuna ji, you are in contact with the lord's body when he lies down on the causal ocean in his Mahavishnu form. You are a great devotee. You are having darshan of Vishnu. I don't have. I am very poor. I am low." "Oh," Varuna said, "it's all right. It's all right. Can you tell me how I can get to my lord?" Varuna said, well, what did he say? Yes, in the back to Godhead. Would you like to say what he said? Would you like to hear what he said? He said, "Dear Prahlad, O best of yogis, simply pray to the Lord in deepest meditation, and the Lord, who is the benefactor of his devotees, will certainly appear before you." And then Varuna thought, I'm I'm very unqualified to be next to this bhakta, and he vanished into the water. But Prahlad thought, well, he told me I should meditate and then the Lord would come, but I'm trying to do this. And he was crying, "Oh no, I'm so foolish, I'm so fallen." And he fainted. He was so eager for the Lord. When he fainted, the Lord appeared as Vishnu, in the Vishnu form, and took him on his lap and said, "It's all right, my dear devotee, it's all right." And asked for a boon. So when Prahlad Maharaj looked from the lap of Vishnu into the face of Vishnu, he was so happy he fainted again. Again, Vishnu took him and, "It's all right, it's all right. What can I do for you? I want to do something." Prahlad answers, "I only have one desire. I want to sip." Sip means to drink the nectar of your divine form, which is rarely seen by the demigods. And I only want exclusive, undeviating devotion to you. Vishnu said, Tatashtu, Tatashtu, Tatashtu. Then he said, Prahlad, I warn you. I will have to go now. I gave you your darshan because you wanted to see me so urgently. I gave you your darshan on the beach of the ocean, but now I have to go. I have important work to do. But don't cry when I go. Don't cry. I will very soon come. I will come when your father takes a spurt. Vishnu's face already started to get in the intense mood of Lord Nrisingadev and try to kill you. Then I will come. And he went. So when the demons heard that Prahlad, whom they had put at the bottom of the ocean, whom they had put rocks on top, you know, pong, 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 Himalaya mountains on top, was there on the beach. They just went, what? It's almost like if bad people conspire to kill a person and they make sure, you know, they hang him, they take his head off, they pierce a lance in his heart, they poison him, they just do, they crush his body, and then the next day he comes, hello, Haribo, how are you? Did you sleep well? This was quite surprising. When Hiranyakashipu heard that Prahlad, whom they really thought they had killed him, was dead, then he thought, these monsters are useless. I will now get into action. I will kill this son. It's too much. He's too strong. And then this confrontation came. Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu came before his son. The Nrisingha Purana, are you ready? It will be very intense. Mothers who expect children, please leave the room now. This is the intense part of this lecture. Those who don't like intensity, fall asleep now. It gets intense. Now you can, if you wish. Hiranyakashipu went to his son and said, oh stupid, listen to my final and last statement. It's a firm statement. After I have said to you what I'm going to say, there will be no discussion any longer. I have heard you long enough to talk about your Vishnu. Listen carefully. Then he took out his excellent sword, known as Chandrahasa. Chandrahasa means the smile of the moon. It was silvery. All the people who watched this were surprised. He blew on his sword. Then he said, oh stupid, where is your Vishnu? Where? He should come now and protect you. You told me he is omniscient, omnipresent. Where is he, please? Why is he not seen by the people if he is omnipresent? Why is he not seen here in this pillar? If I could see your Vishnu in this pillar, no harm will be done to you. No harm, because you have said the truth. But if I don't see him, and I'm looking now, I don't see him. I don't see him. I don't see him.
my sword will divide you in two parts. Now Prahlad Maharaj knew Vishnu had appeared to him and said, when your father will attack you at that time, I will come. And he had faith in the Lord's protection. And he was blissful. Soon the Lord will come. His father was irritated. You know, normally when you threaten somebody, he doesn't become blissful. He becomes either serious or you know, he screams like hellfire is loose. But that was in bliss. And then, at that moment, there was a noise. Coming from the pillar. And then Hiranyakashipu said, nonsense! Went to the pillar. And then the Lord came out. I can't even try to make it as dramatic as it is, so I will read it as it is here. His eyes were very large. He had a vast mouth, large jaws. In some of the pictures, I don't know if you can see, Lord Nrisimhadev has really a mouth from here to here. Not really a human. Like I believe the depicting of our good intentioned artists is they must make a wide mouth. You know, it was really, he had something in mind with his jaws. So, and long arms. His nails and feet were very large and pointed. His mouth was glowing like the fire of Kala. The jaws spread to the ears, and he looked dreadful. Bhagavatam. Then, making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, shrill sound of laughter. It must sound like, a little bit like like this is shrill, huh? Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who's extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword. What was the name of the sword? Chandrahasa. And shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky. Oh, this is now magic. He left the earth and he flew. And sometimes on the earth. But his eyes were closed because of fear of Nrisimhadev's laughter. Then there was a fight. I mean, Hiranyakashipu went in the sky. We can just imagine, he must have gone like, then he must have taken his sword, and then Lord Nrisimhadev is down there, 10 kilometers down. He must say, all right, let's go. Down, and then he heard, close his eyes. Then Lord Nrisimhadev. Wonderful. I mean, we need a movie on this. You know. I can see it. Good. You know. So there was the most amazing fight because he was really powerful. And finally, Lord Nrisimhadev decided enough is enough. He just captured him. He broke him. He brought him on his lap. And he just went for the kill. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu gave a lecture on this. Lions, do you know how lions kill? When they attack an elephant? No. They go the belly, they open the belly, and because that's how they kill. It's a lion. You can see it, movies from Africa.
So because he was in the lion bath, he just got him and threw to the Singha Bhava, just ripped open his chest and his stomach and so on. And he decided, I want to give a sign to the world that anyone who messes with my devotees, who attacks my devotees, I'm just so angry. I'm doing the most angry thing in the world. And then Lord Nrisimhadev took his intestines out, and at that moment, the demon disappeared. He was not there. Listen very carefully what happened. Lord Nrisimhadev sheared, means severed his heart apart. It was done like an elephant who rips apart a lotus plant. Then the two pieces of Hiranyakashipu bodies disappeared in the holes of the nails. You know, when you are not cutting your nails, you have your food under the nails when you eat. So disappeared. Oh king, Lord Nrisimhadev fell in surprise and he thought, where has this wicked monster gone? Perhaps my effort has been for nothing. Worrying, Lord Nrisimhadev shook his hands, and then the two pieces of the demon came out. And this gives you an explanation why Jayadev Goswami has said in this word, in this, you know, he has made this song where he compared. He said, just as one can easily crush a vase between one's fingernails, vase, so in the same way the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu has been ripped apart. You know this song, please sing. Tavakara kamalavare nakamadbhuta shringa Dalitai Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bringam Keshavadrita Narahare Rupa Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Keshavadrita Narahare Rupa Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Jagadishare. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of half man, half lion. All glories to you. Just as one can easily crush a wasp. You know, wasps is this bzzz, and when they stink. Between one's fingernails. In the same way, the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu, the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu, has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. Yes. For the Lord, Hiranyakashipu was not a problem like a wasp. Yes, a wasp can sting, but it's not a serious Gegner, wie sagt man Gegner? Opponent. Opponent? Not a serious opponent. Very easy. Very easy. So, yes, there are many, many more stories from Nrisimha Purana, but there will be Nrisimha Katha, and you will hear more. I want to bring the lecture now to the close, and then ask you for your questions. Sometimes I feel it is necessary. Oops, I'm sorry. One moment. Sometimes I feel it is necessary to bring the sacred text of the scripture into our life. May I ask you, do you have faith in the Lord's protection in your life? Can you think of a event where Lord protected you? Is there such an event? Please think for a moment. Some of you are not thinking. The question is, do you remember an event where the Lord protected you? I think it's a very... There will be soon a book out. Very nice book. Prepared by one very nice devotee couple. Archana Siddhi and her husband Karunamrita. It is a faith book where she collects stories of devotees who were protected by the Lord. I think it's very important literature. And sometimes, you know, when we hear these stories of the Lord protection, we might think that Prahlad Maharaj was protected, but he was a great devotee. I'm not. Usually a devotee feels like this. I'm not. He is. Even Prahlad Maharaj thought, Varuna, you are the devotee. I'm not. So what is about protection of the Lord in our situation? I really want you to think about this question. Because very often in modern ISKCON, several devotees have stopped to have faith in the Lord. Because the good ones, the thinking ones amongst them say, I'm not a competent devotee, I don't deserve it. And those who don't think so much, they just, no, it doesn't work. This is more or less, the devotees come to such conclusions. Thinking devotees and non-thinking devotees alike, and so on. But I would like to address today the thinking devotees, because they have made it here, they have come, it would be unfair to say there are many, many wonderful devotees who have left the practice, but who still have bhakti in their heart, but who have been disappointed a little. So, what do you feel about this? Will the Lord protect an incompetent devotee? It's a good question, isn't it? I want to read you something from Prabhupada. And I really believe this is important. The devotees may sometimes not be competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. But the Lord is addressed as Parama Parameshtin. He is the Supreme Person. Parama Parameshtin means he is on the situated in the spiritual planet. So the devotee is sometimes not competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So Krishna is the Supreme Person, yet he is very kind to the devotees. No one is competent to serve the Lord. No one. But even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee. My dear devotees, our attempt to serve Krishna may be humble. Humble means, in this case, not this glorious quality of humility. It means just very poor. Our attempt may be not very competent, very poor. But the Lord accepts it nevertheless. My dear devotees, the Lord accepts anyone who has faith. Faith in the Lord, protection. Shraddha, if you study the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is the only qualification for entering the kingdom of bhakti. You don't need to be very controlled. You don't need to be very, beautiful or rich or intelligent or competent in 1,000,000 ways. You need to have Shraddha. You need to have faith. And this faith is born and maintained when you hear about Krishna and his wonderful pastimes. It is born, this faith is born and maintained in the association of devotees who talk about Krishna and who celebrate Krishna, like now is Narasimha Dev's appearance day. This faith in Krishna is also very much maintained when you sit with devotees, just chant the holy names. Chant and chant and chant and chant and chant. So this faith in Krishna brings something psychologically forward, which is what brings was Krishna auf den Plan ruft, sagt man in Deutsch. How to say this in English? This good faith brings psychologically a mentality which brings Krishna to you. It's, in Prabhupada's words, the expectant mentality. Do you know what is an expectant mentality? It's when a woman has her child in the womb and she's now in an expectant. Oh, June 26th. Wow. Soon. And she's full of joy. This brings the Lord. Now, if you will allow me, because I'm a very, very low class person, I will now go for a moment with you into psychology. We are now on a very low level. But it is shown in psychology, whatever you expect, it will come. When you are programmed like many people nowadays in a negative way, oh, I will never make it, I will never pass this exam, and I will never, never be together with the woman of my life. I'm talking about normal people now. I'm a loser, I'm a loser. Then you will become a loser. You just programmed yourselves with your thoughts that in a certain way. Mind will always work over matter. But if you think, no, you think it is possible, then something wonderful can happen in your life. Can I have a shock? Because this is so important. Can I have a shock? I want to write something down for you. You will not believe what will happen now. And what I will... Do me a favor and say what you can read now. Those who know it, please don't say it. What do you read? Two ways to read it. Someone said to me, someone just said, opportunity is nowhere. Who can read this? Opportunity is nowhere. Yeah? you all know what I want to do with you. You go like that. This time we don't get into the trap of Sachinanand Swami. You can read it in two ways. Opportunity is nowhere, or opportunity is now here. And according to how you read, your life will be. I mean, according to how you read the circumstances in your life, when you are ill and things don't work out, you can either see it's a big opportunity for me to become Krishna conscious, or I've lost it. So bringing this principle now to a very spiritual level, if you have faith in Krishna and Krishna's protection, then you will become a devotee. If you have no faith in Krishna, no faith in Krishna's protection, you will be a materialist. It's very, very simple. And therefore, I feel, because on this day we hear this faith story of Prahlad, who was attacked with a sword by his father. I mean, the Chandrahasa sword could kill everyone, anyone. And he was just so faithful. Lord said he would come. Soon he's there. And the Lord came. So, on this sacred day of Nrisimha Chaturthi, let us sincerely explore the ways how to strengthen our faith. It's always said this happens when we hear about Krishna with other devotees. Hare Krishna, I've said what I wanted to say. Very happy that thank you so much for your attention. It was very important for me to say this, to glorify the Lord. Sorry if I have said something. If I attempt to keep you awake, I have said something dramatic. This always works. With an audience who has chanted the whole night and who, you know, we are tired. I would... we have a little bit longer time today than usual. So... I would like to take a few questions, and then Kadamba Kanana Maharaj will address us with a wonderful project. You might be already wondering what is there before on the altar. The Lord has appeared in many forms, and He will give us the reason. Any questions? There is one question. Yes.
Thank you very much for this moving katha. I would like to ask, because as far as I know, the former history of Hiranyakashipu was that he was one of the doorkeepers of Vishnu.
Yes.
So could it be that all the great demons on earth, or so-called demons like Adolf Hitler or Stalin or Idi Amin, could play also a very surprising role in the whole leelas of Krishna, which we might not understand right now, but when we come back one day at Vaikuntha, that we would be surprised that Hitler was there before.
Thank you very much for this. It's a very good, very good perspective. I mean, an interesting perspective.
least all the Jews would be surprised.
There is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about this. And the statement says, those who are demons, I perpetually means again and again and again without an end, throw into the demoniac species. There seems to be something in this verse which is like, you could say, in the Christian theology, the eternal condemnation, the ewige verdammnis, the ewige verdammnis. This is for ordinary demons. And Madhvacharya, one of the great acharyas, he very, very strongly makes a point that those who are demons never come up. They just can never go back to the spiritual world. They are, when this universe is destroyed, they come. They come somewhere, and Madhvacharya is very detailed where they go. But I'm not an expert on Madhvacharya. So then they come back again in the new creation, again and again and again and again and again. This is the fate of these demons who are not in this special category. Like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who, as you said so nicely, are associates of the Lord. I remember in Paris, Prabhupada talked about these super special souls. He said that the Lord has a desire to fight, but he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to do anything with anyone else than with his devotees. So he arranges that his devotees come down into the world and give him a fight. This is Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and others. And they really give him a pleasure in fighting. You know, they really do it very well, if you so want. But the demons which we know of, modern demons or demons whom you have mentioned, they are really in this category. There's, for instance, Duryodhana. You heard about this demon. Oh, Krishna. Duryodhana had a blessing of Lord Shiva that this part of the body could never be killed even by thunderbolts. It couldn't be killed. And this part of the body, downwards, from the hip downwards, would be so attractive that no woman would be able to resist the charm of this body. This was given by Parvati, the blessing. So we just half blessed by Parvati and half blessed by Shiva. And he was a demon. Therefore, there was only one way, and Krishna knew it, to kill him. That was to do it at the beautiful Parvati-blessed part of the body. And Bhimsen did it and on the behalf of Krishna. So there are these demons who are really born again and again and again and again. I know Peter Brooks, in his rendition of the Mahabharata, he gave a version very much like your question. You know, you see all the demons in the heavens, and in the last part of Peter Brook's Mahabharata, and then you see the Pandavas coming and seeing Duryodhana, and Duryodhana goes, "Ooh, I'm a good guy now." that is very appealing to the modern intellectual world, that everyone has his part to play here under Krishna's arrangement. It's all right, but actually in the Shastra we hear of a different version. We hear of the version of that there are really some demons who are born again and again in demoniac forms, you know, little insects where they just bite others, you know, and so on. Ultimately, however, a devotee, and here is where a part in your question, which is a wonderful question to explore, ultimately a devotee thinks everything is arranged by Krishna. He thinks like this. Even the demons, but this doesn't mean the demons are right in what they do. They're very wrong. They want this. But the Lord tolerates everything. Why? Well, that we finally understand this world is not a place fit for a gentleman, and take spiritual life very serious. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any other question at this moment? Yes, Krishna Vallabha. Please speak loud.
I just want to put you answer some of my answers I got from your last answer. But I still, is there any hope that they will, the demons will ever go back to Godhead?
Is there any hope that
for the worst of the worst
to go back to Godhead? It is a very good question which comes from the heart of a loving mother, a compassionate Bengali mother. Krishna Vallabha is a Bengali mother, you know, like Prabhupada spoke so highly of the Bengali mothers. So, can someone get for me the Bhagavad Gita with this verse? It's in the 16th chapter, or where is it? This verse, who is a Gita expert here? That the demons are forever born?
Yeah, I would say it's about 18 or 19.
18th or
19th? Chapter 16.
Would you be, do you seem to be a scholar? Or Kripa Maya, please?
Maybe 20.
Look. 18.
Oh yeah, spot on.
Yeah.
You want to read?
You are reading
so nicely. This is.
So the question is about demons. Is there a hope to go back? Here's a verse.
This is text 19. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life.
Perpetually I cast them into demoniac species. So those who are really demons from this verse, and also Madhvacharya sees, he's, you know, one of our acharyas, he very clearly says for some demons there is just no hope. No hope. I mean, we speak really of demons now, not someone like me, who was under demoniac influences and also ate meat, and you know, I mean, I was not good always. I had also a weapon in the hand, and I was also drawing blood from people. I know what this means. These are demoniac influences. We now mean a core devotee. No hope.
How about Kalki?
Kalki comes at the time at the verse's time and kills the demons, and from the fragrance which emanates from his body, we hear the demons get. There seems to be a point that they go back to Godhead. Parivida, Prabhu. Yes, I was surprised to hear. These are not souls who who go back to Godhead, who act demonically. We just mean now souls who seem to be almost, I mean, the demonic quality is almost inseparably attached to them, and they have no hope. But these, I mean, these beings whom you refer to, they are just souls who have gone through the normal cycle. They have been born in Kali Yuga, at the end of Kali Yuga, where everyone is low class, but they are not these super core demons we speak. That is what I understand from the Gita. And really, if Madhvacharya did not, if I would have not heard this and read it, and I always ignored this verse of the Gita, where Krishna says, perpetually I cast them into hell. But there are people who have no hope. Like it or not. I mean, we always want that everything is a hopeful end, from the Hollywood movies. Everyone, I'm so sorry that I did. No. Some are not. Some are really demons. But I don't think, if you asked me, I don't think I've ever met someone like in that category. I just seen him. I've also would be interesting to see some of these demons, but behind bars, like you go to a tiger. Hare Krishna. Yes, Paramsheya Prabhu.
This verse which we have just heard, I wonder how we should understand this. It is also said that the soul has always the free will. Choice, the free will. So this means that even a soul who turned out to be a demon for a very long time, he has the choice to change himself, to give up his
soul. I know. Yes, I'm. Let us see if Prabhupada says in the purport something on this. Yes. You read the purport.
Is it perhaps we should not advertise God as all merciful if for some there is no hope?
No. This is not the point. The point is we can understand this verse. That if you are always demoniac, Krishna will always say, no way to come back to me. Then I will always keep you in distance. This is one way to understand.
I understand here, Parivara is a philosopher. Yes, I.
But if one is changing this mentality, then there's of course hope.
Yeah. Paramsriya Prabhu, I know your line of argument and you are very intelligent. Have you heard Paramsriya's argument? He says from one perspective you could say the Lord is not accepting anyone who not everyone, because he says for some he has no mercy. And listen to this place in Prabhupada's purport. The placing of the asuras, the demons, in the lowest status of life is simply another feature of his mercy. Sometimes the asuras are killed by the Supreme Lord, but this killing is also good for them. For in Vedic literature we find that anyone who is killed by the Supreme Lord becomes liberated. Then Prabhupada goes into this line. He talks about asuras which are killed by the God, and they are very, very fortunate, like the ones which Kalki kills. Prabhus, let me simply say like this. I am an ignorant living being. I have read this verse in the Bhagavad Gita which says, that they are always thrown there. And I have heard Madhvacharya's commentary, and on this strength I'm saying there seem to be some demons who don't have a chance because they don't want to turn to Krishna. I mean, they really hate him. Yeah, yeah, no, that's their choice, of course.
When you are condemned, someone is
No, it's about choice. It's all about choice. If someone doesn't want to go to Krishna, Krishna doesn't take him. There are some demons who just don't have a turn of mind. They just don't do it. The Vaishnava said, our Vaishnava Thakur can turn the mind sometimes. They can invoke the mercy. Yeah. Prabhupada, I know where you're coming from. You want to see that everyone can go back to Godhead. And, yes, I'm with you, 100%. So if you are satisfied with this, this much I can also say without revoking my past statements. If a demon has a change of mind by the mercy of the Vaishnava, then he can go back home, back to Godhead. But that we knew already in the first Bhakta class. But if you want to hear it again, yes, here it is for you. Please, no more on demons. It's clear. My audience is satisfied. We want to speak today on the Lord. I hope you... keine Dämonenfrage. Also ich bin da gnadenlos. Also gut. Ja. Ja.
Is it better to pray to the Lord for protection in material distress or to accept material distress as an arrangement of the Lord?
Is it better to pray to the Lord for protection in material distress or to accept the distress as an arrangement of the Lord? Thank you, Adishesh Prabhu. I will answer this with a story from Ramayana which I had heard. Lakshman and Ram are going through the forest. Lakshman is angry. Lakshman is quivering. He said, Ram, now Sita is stolen from you. Ram, you're too good. Let us go back to Ayodhya. Take the throne. Bharata is ready to give it. Let's round an army and march towards Lanka to get Sita back. Ram says, no, we have to surrender. We have to surrender to Dharma, which is the rule of God. We have to surrender. Lakshman said, I don't think we have to accept everything. Sometimes we have to do something to get free from misery. Do you know this? When should I stay or should I go? You know, that is, should I accept this from Krishna? Or should I just... You know, one interpretation could be, or should I go against this? You know, should I accept or should I struggle? I think it's a very important question. So Ram said, brother, you are very, very, very angry. Let's take a bath. And they swim in a lake. And Lakshman sees Lord Ram floating on the lake, and he says, he's the Almighty Vishnu. Just like Shirodakshai Vishnu floats on the causal ocean, my Lord floats on the lake, and I just want for him to be happy. I don't want that his soft feet goes over the thorns of the forest. We should go back to Ayodhya and just finish this exile, you know. This is unfair. So then they go out of the water, they dry themselves, and Lakshman takes the bow of Ram. I don't know if I say it in English correctly, the bow. When Ram had gone to take his bath, he put his bow in the earth. It was standing. Bows should not lie on the ground if you are Kshatriya. They must always be respectfully leaned against something, like a doorway, for instance, or a tree, or just can be put like this in the ground. So Lakshman pulls the bow out, and he sees at the end of the bow there's mud and blood. Ah, the demon's coming. Where's this blood coming from? Ram said, did we kill a creature? Let us see, look. And then Lakshman goes into the earth and finds a toad. Do you know what a toad is? It's like a frog, huh? Jabats. So he takes this frog or the toad. The toad is mortally wounded by the bow. His Luftsack, sagt man in Deutsch. His throat is just dropping. His eyes are going. He's really at the last moment. And Ram says, my dear frog, why didn't you say anything? We put our... Lakshman is holding the frog, and the frog says, my lord, when a snake comes and attacks me and I'm in his mouth, then I struggle, I don't accept, and I call the name Ram, Ram, Ram. But when Ram comes and pierces me, then I have to accept. I can't now say Ram, Ram, save me from Ram, you know. When the snake comes, I say Ram, Ram, save me. When Ram comes, I accept. Ram takes the frog in his hands, and the frog gets ecstatic and says, my dear Lord, there's only one thing which is better than being killed by the hands of Rams. It's to die in the hands of Ram. And he accepts, and just I think he's a very fortunate soul, you know, to die in the hands of God. Wonderful. So when there's Maya attacking you, you should struggle. But when you clearly see it's an arrangement of Krishna, then you should accept and surrender. And Maya's attack always brings you away from Krishna. Huh? When Maya is making an arrangement, it brings you away from Krishna. And when Krishna is making an arrangement, it brings you to Krishna. Some of you know that I was not well after a surgery, and that there was a time during the surgery where I was really in misery, really suffering, and I'm very sensitive to pain. But I could understand that this surgery was sent by Krishna to remove me from my old life and give me a chance, a second chance, to do a service for Prabhupada in the new. I could understand, and I did not ask Krishna to take the misery away. Although usually, even when I have a cold, I might say, Krishna, I want to sing for you. Kirtan, if I have so much mucus, please take my cold away. I'm not a very strong person, but here I could understand it was Krishna's arrangement, because I felt I was pulled more towards Krishna. So whenever you see that something pulls you away from Krishna, you know it's Maya, and then you should struggle. You should not accept it. You should be very strong. No. But if Krishna sends you even misery, which brings you to him, that's God. I don't know who was asking. Adishesh, yeah. So I feel now the time is up. Please remain seated. Now a very important part comes.
I don't know 100% what it is, but I know it has to do with Lord Nrsingadev. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Thai ki jai, Kanama Kanana Maharaj ki, Lord Nrsingadev ki, Nrsinga Chaturdasi ki, Go Premanandi Arjambo.
Thank you very, very much. Sachinandan Maharaj took us out of the limitations of everyday reality to dimensions that we could have never dreamt of. He took us with Prahlad to the bottom of the ocean, to the deepest point, and somehow or other we re-emerged on the beach along with Prahlad. He took us to the edge of our seat when the sharp edge of the sword of Hiranyakasipu was about to cut Prahlad in two halves. He subsequently did magic when he made Hiranyakasipu disappear under the nails of Lord Nrsingadev and then reappeared. And all along, underneath this very rich and deep lecture, was a very essential theme, a theme that is essential to the very core of our spiritual life, our faith in the protection of Lord Krishna. That somehow or other, Lord Krishna doesn't just protect his devotee Prahlad, but also protects us, the small and struggling aspiring devotees, those who wish to become devotees. So, like this, we have been enriched this morning by this meditation and presentation.